Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to ISGEC Heavy Engineering Limited Q4 and FY24 conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aditya. Good evening. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I would like to welcome you all for the Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call of ISGEC Heavy Engineering Limited. From the management today, we have with us Mr. Aditya Puri, Managing Director, Mr. Kishore Chatnani, Full-Time Director and CFO, and Mr. Sanjay Gulati, Full-Time Director and Head of Manufacturing Units. Without further delay, I would hand over the call to management for brief opening remarks, which will be followed up by Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on our earnings conference call. I hope that you and your loved ones are all well and safe. We look forward to a constructive interaction with you. We had a good financial year, and prospects for the next year are also promising. Our quarterly and annual financial results were published yesterday. We have uploaded our presentation on BSE, NSE, and our website www.isgec.com. I will now provide a briefing on the performance during the year. Annual financials. The standalone revenue for the year FY24 is Rs. 4906 crores compared to Rs. 4687 crores for FY23, that is higher by 5%. The standalone profit before tax for the year FY24 rose by 30% at Rs. 304 crores compared to Rs. 234 crores for the 12 months of FY23. The consolidated revenue for the year FY24 is Rs. 6249 crores compared to Rs. 6412 crores for FY23, that is lower by about 2.6%. The consolidated profit before tax for the year FY24 is Rs. 354 crores compared to Rs. 290 crores for FY23, that is higher by 22%. Borrowings. The fund position has improved substantially. On a standalone basis, we closed the financial year 2024 with a net surplus of Rs. 45 crores as compared to a net borrowing of Rs. 308 crores as at 31st March 2023. The consolidated net borrowing has also significantly reduced to Rs. 594 crores on 31-3-24 as compared to Rs. 1032 crores as at 31-3-23, that is lower by 43%. Order booking. The order is in hand position is comfortable. Consolidated orders in hand as on 31st March 2024 is Rs. 7905 crores. Of the consolidated order book, 71% is for the project business and 29% is for the manufacturing business. The order book includes Rs. 1047 crores for international orders, which is about 13%. The order book includes the order book of ISGEC Hitachi Zosen, which is very good. It has Rs. 1048 crores of orders as on 31st March 2024. The order book is well diversified across various sectors and customers. Market demand. The overall demand trend is encouraging and the inquiry position continues to be robust. Export inquiries have also picked up. Philippines project. As informed to the shareholders and stock exchanges, the plant commenced commercial production in April 2024. There are still some balance works to be completed, such as internal roads and part of the boundary wall, etc. The plant has produced about 3 million liters of ethanol up to now. Initially, the plant functioned on sugar cane as feedstock. After completion of the sugar cane season, the plant has been operating, although at lower capacity, on molasses as feedstock. We will shift to sugar cane as feedstock from the next sugar cane season starting November 2024. My colleagues and I will be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Digant Haria from Green Aged Wealth. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is that, for the next 1 year, which is F25, what are our, strategic business priorities as a company? I'm asking this question, sir, because, see, our order book has not been growing at all in the last 2 years. Then, our revenues for this year are more or less flat across products, projects, and sugar division. Then our margins in the project division have also declined. Working capital still remains quite high versus our own history. And we are in the best environment for, for these heavy engineering kind of business ever in the last 7-8 years. So just wanted to know, how do we look at all these things? Like, why is Isjet showing completely different picture from what the cycle and, other competitors like L&T Thermax are doing?
So we've actually spoken on the conference calls earlier. We have adopted a strategy of not going into very long duration projects, because there are lots of uncertainties associated with them. The site works are not totally in our control. The labor shortages, weather problems, all those sort of things. So we have decided deliberately to go into low duration projects,
high technology
linked projects on the project side. And keeping that in mind, our order book is very, very comfortable, and we are very well booked in the sectors that we want to be. So our technology-linked projects and our manufacturing is very well booked, and we only we are confident that things are going to improve fast. So our strategy is very clear, and you need a higher order book if you are going to do long duration projects. We are not doing. If you're doing shorter duration projects, you can be comfortable with a lower order book, and we've been selective about booking orders.
Great, sir. So what is the benefit of shorter duration projects?
So working capital is an advantage. Uncertainties in commodity pricing is an advantage over long duration. You don't know. The risk is more. And as somebody said, working capital and payment cycles is an advantage. We are, in fact, going to be doing some investment in manufacturing so as to increase output.
Okay, sir. So final two questions. Sir, in this manufacturing, how much capacity will we increase? And, can we expect some 5-10% growth in the coming year? In the manufacturing?
Yes, more than that.
Okay, sir. And because now we are taking shorter duration projects in the projects division, our project margin is currently at 3.9% for the last year. So shouldn't that at least go to 6%, which has been our aspiration since some time?
Yes, gradually we move towards that, yes.
Okay.
Long duration orders will finish, and margins will start improving.
So over last those FGD and rail, you know, rail orders and all those where material handling was supposed to get over by March 24. So are there still some pending or we are more or less near the end?
So we are very near the end. But you know what happens in these long duration projects is that you also have to depend on the customer for his inputs. For instance, if he doesn't have land available or he is not ready with the civil work or he's got some other agency working in that area, you can't work. So as a result of which, most of the projects are now near completion and they should be completed in the next few quarters. Almost all completed in the next few quarters, yeah.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nitisha from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, ma'am.
My first question is the order book outlook. What do you think is the outlook for the upcoming year?
The order book is good. It is good, and we don't foresee any shortage of orders.
Could you possibly be able to give a number in terms of inflow and then what your backlog would look like?
I can just tell you firstly from the basis of the inquiries that we have. So we have more than enough inquiries, and thankfully, and with a lot of effort, export inquiries are also pretty good. We have booked reasonably better than normal orders in this first quarter, the quarter that is ongoing, April and May. So we have most of the orders that we expect to execute during the current year, we already have those orders. So we won't be able to give you a number of how much order booking we'll be doing during the current year. But we expect it to be certainly much much more than what we booked in the last year.
All right. You mentioned that you have quite a few orders in hand already since the start of this quarter. Do you have a number for that possibly?
Ma'am, it's not appropriate to give out a number. There are orders which are finalized. There are orders in which the advances are yet to be received. So though the orders are there, so we count the orders only when the advances are received. So, but as I mentioned to you, the pace is a little higher than our normal quarterly pace.
All right. And the plant in Philippines, what do you think would be the contribution from that in the upcoming year?
So the plant started operation as we mentioned to you, right, in April. Typically, sugarcane finishes around that time. And so it ran for a few days on sugarcane. Then it's run for some time on molasses. Now, the real production and real contribution will come next season when the sugarcane season starts again, sometime end of October, early November. Till then, we'll be running it on molasses, but it probably won't be on the full capacity.
Mm-hmm.
The real contribution that you will see comes from the sugarcane, and that you will see from October and November onwards.
Right, and what do you think would be the possible? So you already gave a number for this year, and then what do you think would be the number for the upcoming year in the season that is between the last two quarters?
I don't think we are able to give you a number at this time.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Madhu from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This is Siddharth here from MK Ventures. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is on overall outlook. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
So we are seeing a surge in terms of order intake and order inflows for other cap good companies in the same space. and execution also has been very robust across companies in this space. Now, our order intake, if I see for last two quarters at least, has been lower than the execution. And the full year execution, if you see, the revenue is up 4% YOY on a standalone basis. Consolidated basis is minus 3%. This is lower than the guidance which you gave last quarter also in the con call. So any challenges we are facing in terms of taking fresh orders or in terms of execution, anything you want to highlight? Or probably also if you can give a guidance for next 2-3 years, what kind of scale up is possible in the base business, the manufacturing and the EPC business?
Yeah, so the order, okay, the revenue increased by 4% because in 5% because capital goods is cyclical, but we expect this year to have a much higher growth in revenues. And as far as the consolidated results are concerned, primarily it was because of two reasons. One reason was that in the sugar business, the government gave lower releases of sugar and did not allow export of sugar. So the revenue in the sugar sector fell. We were not allowed by government to sell. And so that is the primary reason for the fall in the consolidated revenue. Also, in Israel Hitachi Zosen, there was an equipment which was to be shipped.
Hello?
It was actually shipped in April or May within the contractual delivery, but so the revenue shifted in April or May because of some shipping problem. These are the two primary reasons. There's no fundamental problem that we faced because of which the revenues were lower.
So I understand. So the cap goods is a cyclical industry, but I also feel that it's a very strong upcycle which you are seeing. So can you quantify the growth aspiration at least for next couple of years, sir? What kind of revenue growth on a standalone basis can we see, say in FY25, FY26, both on order intake and on execution side?
Double digits. We'll see a double digit growth.
Okay. So on the margins front, sir, the EPC margins have been low for quite some time, for many years now. We make 3.5%, 4% EBITDA margins in the EPC business. Hardly any company is making this kind of EBITDA margin. Most of the companies are in 8 to 10, at least 8 to 10, 12%, if not 15 to 18%. So what is the aspiration for us in this space? Because if we see the working capital intensity, we'll not really make any money or any meaningful ROC in the EPC business at this margins. So if you can just guide, maybe it will take time, but over, say, next 3 years, what kind of aspirational EBITDA margin do you expect in the EPC business?
So we're very clear that we will not take any future order which is less than, which will give a margin of less than 7-8% on an EBITDA basis.
Okay.
And in the project business, yeah.
Okay, sure. And sir, lastly, if you can sir, share some kind of outlook, some kind of numbers for the Philippines business, sir.
I think we would want to share that closer to when the next season is starting.
Okay.
Next season
okay.
Starting.
Sure. Thanks. That's it for my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ranjit from Mahindra Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good evening. When I look at your cash flows, the cash flow from operations have improved, but it's largely coming from this increase in other current liabilities. So other current liabilities, if I look, it is around 2,359 crore compared to 1,401 crore. So what has been the main reason for this increase in other current liability?
We are able to get better payment terms from our customers. So as Mr. Puri mentioned, the we're shifting into more technology intensive projects business. Even in the manufacturing of machinery and equipment, we are able to get higher advances from customers. And payment terms from the projects business for the new orders, certainly, because you will know that if earlier, and this is something we've heard from a lot of analysts like you, and it's actually correct also, that in the long duration orders where there are milestone based payments, the cash flows are delayed. Now after we have started changing the texture of the order book for EPC, this has improved. So that is, we were able to get higher advances from customers, and there is what is called as what appears in the revenue in the balance sheet as unearned revenue. Both of these things come under the current liabilities.
Okay, so you believe that this is some kind of a steady trend? It is not a one-off kind of a thing.
It is not one-off. It is not one-off because the nature of the orders that we are booking, the payment terms on which we are booking, is changing. We have taken advice from friends like you who have told us to look at working capital cycles more carefully. So I think that impact is showing.
Okay, sir. And when I see your receivable, it's around 2,928 crore. So of that, how much that FGD related is the major chunk, which has been that?
I am telling you a number, but it may be off by some orders. So about 400 crores is what is remaining of the two large FGD orders, which are going to be completed during the current year. So there are two more large, one of them is pretty large FGD order, which is going to be completed the following year. So I don't remember the numbers on that, but the two orders which are going to get completed this year, 400 crores is the number, and that 400 crores is going to be recovered this year.
Okay, so of this 2,928 crore of receivables, is it fair to assume that a large chunk will be of that FGD order which we have already completed and we are yet to receive payment?
It is not fully complete in the sense of the milestones to be achieved. But these two particular orders that I don't want to name the customer, it's not fair. But 400 crores relates to those. So we normally have, you know, as this EPC order book changes shape to lower duration orders than earlier, we will see that what is classified as receivables as milestone payments or retention payments, that will keep on coming down. And I would expect it to come down substantially during this current year.
Okay. Great. Sir, one thing wanted to understand that WHR is coming out to be a very good space. And in our order book, is there any WHR related from cement, steel, and all these industries? Are we there as a major player?
Yes, we are there, and we have many orders in that field.
Exactly,
completely. Okay, the biggest... A cement waste heat boiler in the world we commissioned for an Indian customer.
Okay, and sir, we also hear regarding huge capex from steel and oil and gas refineries and all. At least because you will be hearing, at least in terms of inquiry levels, are you seeing activity from steel and oil and gas refineries? Is that something which we are also excited about?
Yes, we are excited about it, and we've got a very good order book. Even in our subsidiary Isjek Hitachi Zosen, which caters a lot to the oil and gas, and our own pressure equipment division, we have very good orders from the oil and gas sector. And yes, the prospects are bright. You're right about that.
Okay, okay. Okay, sir. Thanks. I will join for further questions and this is very helpful. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ravindranath from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. What is the legacy orders right now in our total order book, which are having low margin orders?
About 2,200 crores, something like that.
Legacy order book. Okay. But sir, it is good that you have concentrated on the short cycle orders. So among the around say seven segments of order book we are getting, so which of the segments we see significant decline due to this change in strategy of short cycle orders, taking the short cycle? So I observe that power sector order has come down substantially. So is that the one of the segments or any other segment you can highlight which will see significant decline in the order inflow or an order book going ahead due to this change in strategy?
So as we mentioned earlier, when we say power sector, we are not actually supplying power plants. We are actually supplying the flue gas desulfurization systems and other kinds of air pollution control equipment. So based in our experience, the FGD projects, of course, FGD projects typically turn out to be much longer than what they appear when you book them. They are initially itself long duration, maybe 3 years or 3.5 years, and they actually take more time than that. So we are no longer doing booking fresh FGD orders, but we are booking on multiple other technologies, such as dry sorbent injection and some other technologies which are lower duration. They are for smaller power plants, typically 210 megawatt units of 210 megawatts, multiples of 210 megawatts. So I think Mr. Puri mentioned a little while earlier, the order book may look a little lower, but its execution time is faster. So one should actually expect a positive impact on the revenue rather than lowering of revenue. You should expect the revenue to go up faster because shorter duration orders are to be included.
Okay. And again, sir, this, again, about the what Ranjit has asked about this question regarding this current liabilities and other current assets. So, because your order book is order inflow, if I am calculating correctly, it is lower than in FY22 order inflow, if I am correctly calculating. So, based upon that, the advances from the customer would have come down. And that means your unearned revenue has gone up substantially.
Advances from customers have also gone up. And unearned revenue has certainly gone up. Both of them have gone up and significantly. Advances from customers have also gone up significantly.
Okay. So from where this unearned revenue is coming, sir? From which of the, among the all these seven segments, from where this unearned revenue is coming substantially?
It's specific to payment terms on certain orders. What is the milestone on which we are supposed to bill? And how does the cost accrue? So because, as you know, revenue is recognized as a proportion to the cost incurred compared to the total cost. And whereas billing is agreed with the customer based on certain milestones. So this is actually a positive mismatch in the sense, rather than giving more udhar to the customer, if you are able to collect a little before you are spending, that is better.
Okay. So that means whether railway, refineries or chemical, petrol, whether you are getting payments, advance payments more, or it is across the segments you are getting
it? It is actually specific to every particular order. We don't have too many new railway orders.
We don't have too many railway orders. I think the point that Mr. Chetnani has also just made is that we are able to generally in the market where there is no bidding, we are able to secure better payment terms because ISJEC is now more established as a brand known for its timely delivery and quality.
Okay. And sir, regarding this Philippines project, you mentioned that it is going to be commissioned this quarter. So what is the total commissioning gross block addition to this in this quarter?
No, I mean it is going to happen. It's all appearing in CWIP. Most of this, 95% would be appearing in CWIP.
So that means it will not be commissioned in this quarter as well.
It has been commissioned in this quarter.
Okay, that means it will be appearing in the gross block from this quarter onwards.
That's right.
Okay, so what is the total commissioning gross block for this quarter for Philippines?
I don't have the number. Because it has to be worked out from Philippines and then audited and all of that.
So any revenue guidance from this project for this quarter?
I think Mr. Puri mentioned that we have up to now sold about 3 million liters of bioethanol.
Okay. So
average rate is about 120 rupees liter.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Manish from Thinkwise Wealth Manager LLP. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Manish, I request you to use handsets while asking.
Hope now it's clear. Okay.
On the order book, probably what we see is that the order book mix has improved with now manufacturing portion accounting for higher share from 21% to 29%. But what probably is that large part of the growth is largely driven by Hitachi JV order book increase, which probably has doubled in last 1 year from 500 odd crores to 1048, what we mentioned. So, sir, now going forward, we have been saying in recent past that JV has not been probably making even the company average margins what we have delivered, like we have already reached 12% at a standalone level. So going forward, can we expect that now we probably see a better margins, and what kind of margins we can see, sir? Because our standalone numbers have been quite good in terms of our core business, but somehow on a consolidated basis, it looks quite subdued. So, and large part of the growth in the order book is from our JV. And second observation also is that the international share has also increased. So I believe part of it would be due to Hitachi JV. Am I right, sir? If you can clarify both things. Thank you.
Anjay, would you like to answer that about Hitachi Rosum? Is Jack Hitachi Rosum?
Yeah. So the joint venture has booked very good orders in this year, and that is because we were had a substantial market available in the year. We booked these orders at good, better margins than we were able to book in the previous years, and so we expect the amount, profits of the JV to increase. The profits, of course, in terms of percentage, has increased substantially from the previous year. But we expect them to further increase to come to the levels of the the normal manufacturing margins that we have for ISJEC standalone. And the second question was regarding the exports. So, yes, there is a lot of growth in the export orders in the JV. But this year, more than 50% of the orders were from overseas.
So also, we are seeing a good traction and we expect to do better in order booking in exports even outside of the JV,
in
the main company. In the main company.
Okay. No, so, sir, as you mentioned that Hitachi has done well in the current year, so maybe if you can share the numbers, because when I look console minus standalone for the manufacturing segment, probably I don't see that significant improvement. So maybe if you can share the Hitachi JV numbers and what kind of margins we can look forward to in FY25 and 26.
So it's like this, that this year the JV has done better than the previous year, and this current year is going to be substantially better than the previous year. The current year which is just gone by.
The current year is going to be certainly much better. Last year the revenue was down. You are right, Manish. So, as Mr. Sanjay Gulati mentioned, our order booking, he's booked wonderful, good orders for the JV this year, and you can expect to see much better numbers from the JV this year.
Wonderful, sir. And maybe also, as we are discussing JVs, if you can give some insights on how Eagle Press has done, and are we seeing a turnaround over there?
So Eagle Press still has a problem of booking orders, and as of now, we do see orders coming in, but we will be able to tell you more in the next quarter. As of now, the situation is a little uncertain because orders are just not getting decided. Although the last few weeks have seen some orders coming close to finalization, but not yet finalized. But next quarter, we'll be able to give you better guidance on either.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nilesh Doshi from Green Latin Capital LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question.
Nilesh, sir, I request you to use your handset.
Yeah, I'm on handset. Can you hear me now clearly?
So your voice is sounding little soft.
Hello?
Yes, sir, now it's clear.
Yeah. Sir, when we observe the space, especially the fabrication industry and the manufacturing, product manufacturing in your area, and when we look at the peers in the industry like L&T, Anup Engineering and many, and including their order book, what we observe is that the revenue potential for growth rate is almost 20-25% plus CAGR over the next 3 to 5 years. Whereas you are saying the possibility of a double-digit growth in the current year. So just trying to understand, do we have a manufacturing constraint, facility constraint to grow that kind of growth rate? Or when you say double-digit, I really don't understand. Is it 10%, 20 or what it is? If you can help us to understand, please.
So we are actually cautious when we talk about anything because, yes, when we say double-digit, it starts from 10%. But we are hoping to do closer to 15% this year.
Yeah. And second is, as a normal prudent, investor information practice, is it possible for you to give large orders as in when you get onto the exchanges, please?
We can. We have a board decided policy of some threshold. It's a different threshold for EPC companies and different for manufacturing. EPC orders, the project orders and the manufacturing, but yes, we can. And I have heard you, so we will try and do that.
Yeah, that's so nice of you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ruchi Jain from SHC Mehta Investment Intermediates. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir. One question I would like to ask you that in a FY25, that is in the next year, some kind of, on a consolidated basis, any kind of, give us a bit idea that what kind of order inflow in terms of crores that you are expecting numbers wise? Because we have seen your order outstanding order book so far is 7,900 crore. So we want to get an idea what kind of, you know, order inflow that we expect in a next 1 or 2 years kind of thing.
So I think 2 years is depends a lot on the macro economy.
It's difficult to give.
Economy is good. So the economy is good for sure. I think it's not only for us, as you have been as many of you have been pointing out, for all the engineering companies. The export market is turning out to be, is now turning around for us, and we expect to book higher orders from the export market. I think Mr. Puri mentioned earlier that we're trying not to do longer duration orders, particularly in exports. The reason we have been lesser number of orders, because we are no longer taking any order where there is significant site work or significant construction. Any civil work, we are not taking those orders. And we are now expecting to book larger export orders where our responsibility is to supply the machinery, supply the equipment. The customer gets it installed under our supervision, but at his cost and his risk, under our supervision. And after that, we take responsibility for the plant that gets set up. So because of this, you are asking for specific numbers, how much the order booking is going to be this year and the next year. We are unable to give you numbers, but we can give you the perspective that demand position is good, in ISJ's products are well in demand, and besides the domestic market, besides the PSUs, private sector companies are investing, and we are getting our share of orders from them or share of inquiries from them, and we expect to do better in export this year for sure.
So we can, you may not be able to share the ballpark number for at least in FY25, but we can assume that the way with the economy and that is doing well, at least if the things are, you know, stable, then you can continue to maintain the, you know, runway that you did in the last year. You know, you have already given in your quarterly presentation, you know, quarter-wise, you know, order book, that's what you have mentioned. So at least you continue to maintain that if the things are, you know, stable as far as economy is concerned, that we can assume.
I think I have already mentioned that we are hoping to do closer to 15% in terms of revenue growth for the year. And order book, we have mentioned we have booked reasonable orders in April and May. So we are not able to give out numbers.
Okay, agree, sir. And as far as margin is concerned, as you are saying that you want to have some kind of, you know, at least 8% kind of margin that you want to maintain, right? That's what you have already earlier mentioned. So just I'm once again reconfirming the same, right?
That is the objective. Fresh orders that we are booking, we are trying for those kind of margins.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Anshul Sehgal from Sehgal Company. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. You mentioned that we have legacy orders of roughly 2,000 to 2,200 crores, which are long duration. When do these orders come off the order book? First is that. And second, as these orders come off the book, should we expect a step jump in margins? Because these will be lower margin business.
So about out of this, maybe about 700-800 will continue into the following year and will be completed in the following year. The balance 1,300-1,500 will get completed during the current year. So there is going to be an increase. It is not going to look like a step jump this year. It might look like a step jump in the next year. There is going to be an increase in margins. It's not going to look like a step jump this year.
Got it. Second, your stated objective of going to 7-8% margins in the projects business, can one expect that in the last quarter of this year, that is the runoff quarter, we will see that kind of a margin play through in the business?
I won't expect that to happen. I would expect it. Because orders, when you book and the revenue and execution takes place over time, I don't think the quarterly number may ensure that those numbers.
All right. Third, if you look at our projects business, we are at about 3,500 crore revenues from projects, and this will have a component of boilers as well. I would assume that the boilers business is a higher margin business, and it should be in the range of 1,000 to 2,000 crores. Now, if boilers are higher margin business, how is it that we are doing 3.5% in projects, and even an 8% margin structure in projects, the ambition of 8% looks quite conservative. In fact, the margin should be closer to manufacturing margins, given how this business works. Could you throw some light on that, please?
No, I don't think the boiler margins. I don't think boiler margins can are at double digit numbers anywhere. I really don't think so. Unless it's commoditized boilers, I don't think they are at double digits. Anyway, and as Mr. Chetani has said, as the quarters from the next financial year, you will see a difference in the order booking or in the margins of the project business.
All right. My final question in manufacturing, you've given some color on what margin structure you would expect in project. What kind of a margin structure would you expect in manufacturing going forward?
10 to 12%,
and similar sort of growth as you're expecting for the company as a whole, which is about 15%.
Yes.
All right, and just a request finally, you know, it'll be great if we can do some meetings personally, because it gives a better perspective to us analysts to understand the business if we meet personally. You know, if some sort of a mechanism can be formulated around that, I'll be grateful, as also the other investor community. Thank you. Just a comment, please.
Thank you for the suggestion. We'll look into it. We'll certainly look into it.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please limit your question to 2 per participant. Should have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. Our next question is from the line of Mahinda Jain from Way to Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. So my question is regarding Philippine plant. What is our strategy in longer term? Like, we are going to get out of that, or any? Can you just highlight something on that? Like, what is our plan regarding this future plan here?
So we have of course completed the plant with the intention to run it. Our understanding and estimation is that we can recover our money after by running it. We are certainly open to selling it if we get a reasonable price. But we are open to both the ideas of running it as well as hiving it off.
Okay. My second question is that, as you mentioned, that we are moving into high-end technology and short-duration project and all this. So what kind of, we are coming out with some new products, or we are applying something new technology, in what sense that, and it will be applicable to which industry you are talking? So as previously we were working, how it will be different from the previous things like?
So what will be different will be that in a project, there is some amount of construction that happens. There is a project in which there is some amount of civil work that happens. But we will be limiting ourselves to taking those projects where the civil work and construction is a lower percentage of the total production value, and where ISJ can add some engineering value to the end project. So it could be like boilers, it could be sugar machinery, it could be material handling, it could be a few other areas that we are in. So those are the areas where we can give a solution which is largely dependent on our engineering skills.
Okay. Let me add to that. So, for example, in boilers, we are doing we have got three different new additional products, like tail gas fired
boilers,
flue gas coolers. So we are actually constantly developing on newer products, both in all of these, with our own products, as well as there is now a lot of focus. I mentioned it earlier. On different technologies for air pollution control. So we are working a lot on dry solvent injection as a technology for power plants to control their
emissions.
We are working on higher levels of electrostatic precipitators. Certainly a lot more work on back filters. In the case of sugar plants and machinery, a few years ago, we were doing only molasses-based distilleries. We are now doing grain-based distilleries. So we are trying to, and there are certain, Mr. Puri mentioned about...
and energy conservation, like somebody earlier in the call mentioned waste heat. So we're doing a lot of things based on waste heat, and even in sugar industry, we're working a lot on reducing energy consumption.
Great.
Energy means electricity and steam.
Yeah, great, sir. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ashwini Sharma from MK Global Financial Service. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, in your 15% growth revenue guidance that you have given, what will be the contribution from Philippine plants in that?
Ashwini, we were talking about standalone firstly. Secondly, I was very careful when I said double digit, we are hoping for closer to 15. So I'm sticking with what I said. This was on the standalone basis.
Okay. So let me put it this way. So, you know, earlier our guidance was 500 crore from Philippines plant. So will we see that number in FY25 or it will...
Let me tell you, the question that we had answered was,
yeah,
what is the revenue potential of the Philippines plant on an annual basis? So that was the question that remains true. The answer remains true today, that with the plant capacity is 42 million, one can assume that out of 42 million, 40 million can be produced, and that will roughly turn out to closer to 480 to 500 crores in terms of revenue on an annual basis. So the plant has started. Some revenue is coming in this quarter. We have to see as we go along.
So you're saying that there are still some work needs to be completed. So if I may ask, on a cumulative basis, how much we have, you know, put in Philippines, how much has been total investment in the Philippines plant?
Yeah, the work that needs to be completed is not related to the operation of the plant. It is certain peripheral things like a boundary wall or some drain or something.
Yeah, internal roads.
Internal roads or something like that. It's not to do with the operation of the plant.
And the cumulative investment in the Philippines plant?
So the investment, I don't have the figure in the fashion that you are asking me. In the sense, there was some, when we took it over, there was some investment earlier. And then we borrowed a loan from a bank and some money we have put in. I think now that the capitalization will be done in this quarter, we'll be able to answer you next time.
Sure, sir. So on the manufacturing side, if I may ask, so obviously at a company level, you know, the focus is there on the manufacturing. What kind of capex we will do in FY25, anything which company would have planned to, you know, further improve our capabilities or capacities in the manufacturing side?
So the capital plan is not yet firm, but it will be somewhere, we expect somewhere in the region of 50 crores plus.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Madhu from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Mr. Puri. Thank you for the
afternoon.
Good afternoon. The question. I think many people have tried. Let me try my luck as well. See, what is, you know, you have a stellar reputation. We have spoken to a lot of your customers directly, indirectly. But what is really surprising, while everyone is really painting a very rosy picture, you know, including the likes of Larsen & Toubro and all, about the prospect. The company somehow, you know, in my understanding also, is a bit shying away from, and no one wants to know that, you know, what will be the margin in this quarter, next quarter. So can you talk about your aspiration? I'm not talking about guidance. Can you talk about your aspiration as to where would you like this company to be 3 to 5 years from now? And why is it that the margins have consistently remained low for over the years? And is there any structural shift which is taking place to really improve it in a 3-5 year time frame?
I think we your last question we have answered, and I will repeat that answer. That yes, we take there is a structural shift that is happening in the order of booking. We have seen that these large duration contracts is not something which is fit for a company like ours, and we are therefore cautiously we've taken a decision not to book any more long duration projects, and therefore we see that as these projects come off our book, we would be doing much better. We are very proactive in getting into new products. We are proactive in going up the value chain in certain areas, and we are looking at technology like you know, long duration energy storage or manufacture of things for components for green ammonia plants, environmentally friendly. We are trying to be there in the critical link of this whole decarbonization process. And we are positioned, the strategy of the company is to position itself there. And as Mr. Chitani mentioned, we are giving a conservative outlook right now. And if things actually turn out to be rosier for everybody, I think we'll also be a part of that story.
My last question, you know, given your technical expertise and given the opportunity, can we at least hope in the next 3 to 4 year time frame that we'll get to at least 11-12% kind of EBITDA margin? At least, is that what the company is aspiring for? Whether it happens?
Yes, we are aspiring for that. We are aspiring for that.
And
yes,
that is exactly what all of us want to hear.
And it will be practically possible. It looks to be practically possible.
But this is all we want to hear. That's it. I think everyone is only wanting to hear that only. And because I'll give you a context, you know, yesterday one building company, which is purely building, you know, plain buildings in Mumbai, declared their results. And their EBITDA margin is 17%. People who are building simple roads, their margin is 10.5-11%. So it is very surprising to see an engineering company with such complex solution still is operating at 7-8% EBITDA margin, and that is what is baffling to an investor like me also who has been around for 30 years. So all of us are only wanting to understand only that part. Was it
our strategy is to move to that, to that point.
Okay. And sir, one last point, you know, it will be a great idea if we can, you know, if you could hold an analyst meet where all of us could meet you in person to maybe understand the company a little better. And whenever you think it is that opportunity is possible, I would love to travel myself and attend the meeting.
We'll certainly look into that. So within a week, we'll try and do something.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Dikhan from Greek Aged Well. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity.
So one question is, because, you know, we have changed our order booking strategy. We are focusing on shorter duration and higher tech orders and, you know, with more advances. You know, the commodity prices have started going up again, you know, be it copper, be it iron, you know, steel. And then, you know, we saw one shock in 2022 after the Russia-Ukraine war. And then, you know, we really had a hit on our margins. If such a scenario plays out, how are we placed this time, sir?
No, this time, unless they actually go up very, very drastically, look, it's very difficult to hedge these metals. And we are in that business, so there is a certain amount of risk that is always involved. But because the duration of the projects is much shorter and our ordering cycle is faster now, somebody gives us an order, we are able to order on our vendors faster. The risk is mitigated to some extent, but that risk could always remain. But I'm very confident that I know the price of nickel, copper, aluminium, they're showing an upward trend. But it will not, till now, it's not made any significant dent. We've kept the contingencies for that, and we are within that.
Perfect, sir. And, sir, just, you know, one more request I had is that, you know, you mentioned that, you know, we are right there in this whole decarbonization drive. So you know, whenever your team gets time in the presentation, you know, if you can just segregate your revenues or your order books into, you know, which are these, you know, sort of new age areas where we are and, you know, which are our traditional areas, it will help people like us because yours is a very technical sector and, you know, every time we, you know, we hear something new, so it's not easy for us to figure that out. So if you can do that, you know, whenever in your presentation,
it may not be possible for us, or we may not want to give those numbers out. But what I can say is that we are in things like waste energy. We are in. We've consciously seen that what all can be manufactured, or what is in our capability to manufacture. For green ammonia or for these blue projects, we are in the value chain for that. So you know, there are lots of other things that happened, which you whether you call it decarbonization or not. Like we are able to now supply zero liquid discharge sugar factories and ethanol plants. Now, so we cannot do a very strict classification, but we have captured the pulse of what we think is going to happen, or the way the world economy and Indian economy is going to move in terms of decarbonization, and to see that we are able to offer solutions that fit into that landscape.
Perfect. Thank you, sir. That's very detailed explanation. Thank you so much. And so the last question is, can I get the number for advances from customers? Like, you know, we get it in the annual report, but if I can just get the number at the console level, you know, the advances of advances from customers.
Would you really want that? You should wait for our balance sheet to come out.
Right, because right now it's part of other liability, you know, other liability. So, fine, I will. We'll wait for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question for the day. I now end the conference. Over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening to us so patiently, and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.